Or if you would like, you can come for our daily prayer. We pray every day, Monday through Friday, at noon. We start about 12:15, but you can come, and you can come pray with the saints. All right, who's ready for the Word of God? Anybody ready for the Word of God? Amen. Okay, and saints, just remember, it's Communion Sunday, so we want you to prepare your hearts, prepare your minds, amen, and maybe ask God to forgive you of known and unknown sin, conscious and unconscious. Just be preparing yourself so we can be worthy through the blood and body of Christ to take communion, amen, to have the Lord's Supper with one another. Hallelujah. Well, let's look at Acts 4 and 1. The Bible says, "And as they spake unto the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now evening time. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Father, add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the exposition of your most holy word in Jesus' mighty name. Saints, we've been looking at the book of Acts, and in chapter 3, we noticed that Peter and John were going up to the temple to pray. The Bible said it was the ninth hour, so in our time, that's roughly about 3 o'clock in afternoon, 3 p.m. They see a man at the beautiful gate who's lame from his mother's womb. He couldn't walk. And he's asking for donations. And Peter looks upon him and says, "Silver and gold have I none, but that which I have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And God did a miracle that day. And the man who had never walked before in his life began to walk. He not only walked, which was a miracle, how you learn how to walk instantly, but he walked, he leaped, and he began to praise God. The people who were going to the temple as well to pray saw this notable miracle, and they began to congregate around Peter and John, around Solomon's porch. But Peter, seeing an opportunity to give God glory, amen, begins to preach. And when Peter begins to preach, he preaches and tells the people, "Listen, it's not me, it's not John, it's not our holiness, it's not our power, but it's Almighty God who has done this miracle." Come on, give God some glory, amen. Anytime something good happens in the church or something good happens in your life, listen, we got a saying, if it's good, then it's got to be God, amen. Because it ain't us. And Peter did that exact thing. He gave the glory unto God. And he began to preach to the people. He began to tell them the way of the cross, the gospel, the way to be saved, how all of our sins can be washed away in an instant if we would just repent and turn unto God in belief. Amen. So Peter preaches the gospel. Hallelujah. But the Bible says, starting in chapter 4, verse 1, "As they spake unto the people," this is while Peter was preaching. I'm talking about, I mean, it was just getting good. And Peter was, I mean, he hit him with the gospel. Hallelujah. He probably was right about to do the altar call. And the Bible says, "And as they spake unto the people," something happened. You see, some commentators say that Peter was interrupted by the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees. They rushed in upon Peter. And as they rushed in, verse 3 told us that they actually laid hands on Peter. They arrested him and threw him in prison. And what happens here is the first instance of persecution in the church outside of the cross of Calvary. Somebody say persecution. So that's what we've been studying for the past few weeks. We've been talking about persecution, and I gave you a definition of persecution. Persecution is when people pursue, oppress, harass, afflict, or punish the people of God, especially or specifically those who follow God's commandments. And they punish you and they harass you, amen, not because of what you've done, but because of who you believe in, because of who you represent. We have to understand that the people who persecute you are only agents of the original persecutor. Come on, somebody, amen. A lot of times we can get mad at them, but we have to understand that it's Satan who is really the adversary of the church. You understand what I'm saying here? And so we can see people and see them hurt Christians, amen, but it's not them. It's the spirit behind them, amen. He hates God, so he hates every single one of God's children, you see? And so I need to warn, hallelujah, our new Christians. And you say, "Man, I ain't never done the devil nothing. What is he mad at me for?" He's mad at you because you love his worst enemy. He's mad at you, amen, because you're in relationship, hallelujah, with the God of all creation. You see? And that's all right with me. Because I'm not going to leave God because he hate me. You understand what I'm saying? You can hate if you want. You understand what I'm saying? Woo! Hallelujah. And so they laid hands on him. And so persecution. And so we've been talking about in this series, amen, persecution. Because in verses 1 through 4, it tells us a lot about persecution. Tells us a lot about it. Amen. Verse 1 tells us who actually persecutes. And it told us the priest, the captain of the temple, the Sadducees. We went through that. Verse 2 tells us, amen, why they persecute. We talked about they were grieved. Why? Because they taught the people, because they preached Jesus. And we're going to actually pick up on this second point here in a minute. Verse 3 tells us how they persecute. And we'll talk about verse 3 today as well. And verse 4 tells us the result of persecution. That's the how be it. And we'll kind of complete that as well with God's help. So this morning, saints, let's finish up point number 2 in this series. Why people persecute. That's coming out of verse 2. We already talked about they persecuted Peter and John. A, because they taught the people. B, because they preached Jesus. And so this morning, let's look at C, because they preach the resurrection from the dead. Look with me at Acts 4, verse 2, and let's read. The Bible says, being grieved that they taught the people, preached through Jesus, the resurrection from the dead. The Sadducees, the temple guards, the priests, they were upset with Peter and John because they not only taught the people and pulled them out of ignorance, they not only preached Jesus and gave them the way of salvation, but they also preached the resurrection from the dead. And these men were grieved by that. They were grieved by it because we have to remember who we're dealing with here. The chief persecutors are from a particular group called the Sadducees. Somebody say Sadducees. And if you remember, the Sadducees were the one who said that there was no resurrection, no afterlife. When you were dead, amen, that life was done. They believe in, as though it were, a complete annihilation when you go, like it just turned dark and there was nothing else. Now, this don't make sense. It don't make sense, hallelujah, even in the realm of science. Because in all of the laws of physics, amen, we know that energy cannot be created, nor can it be destroyed. Anybody hear what I'm saying here? Energy can't be created because God created it in the beginning. You understand what I'm saying? And everything we create, we only create it with the thing that God already created. You understand what I'm saying? So even the smartest that mankind can get, we only, amen, adjusting and modifying creation because we can't create. And that's just the way the devil does. The devil is not a creator. You see what I'm saying? He's a perverter of what God has already created. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? Only God is a creator. And John chapter 1 says that there is nothing in this earth, on this planet, in this universe that was created that was not created by him. Woo! Come on, somebody. You say, well, Pastor, why are evil things created? I told you that the devil perverts that which was good. When God created in the beginning, after every single day, he said, what? It is good, it is good, it is good. And the devil hates that, so he perverts it. He perverts it. You see, God is the creator. And the fact of the matter is that when God creates, that energy that he creates can't be destroyed. Oh, help me, somebody. Help me, somebody. There is an energy in you that's keeping you alive. Woo! A soul, my God. A soul is keeping you alive. It's keeping your heart beating. You're keeping your mind working and the blood is flowing and stuff like that. And if you ever been around somebody that don't have life no more, you know, amen, that something is gone from that body. That's that energy. That's that soul. Well, where did it go? Did it just annihilate? Nah. Energy can't be destroyed. The energy just moves from one place to another place. Anybody hear me up in here? Hey, there's an afterlife. There's a resurrection. You see, Peter done was speaking about it. You see? And the question you need to ask yourself today is which resurrection I'm going to participate in. You see what I'm saying? There's a resurrection unto life, and there's a resurrection unto death. You say, Pastor, how can I resurrect after I don't already die? Revelation speaks of a second death. Oh, God, have mercy. Hey, God. And if you think of the first death is bad, you don't want nothing to do with the second death. There's a resurrection. There's a resurrection. That soul that's in your body, this tabernacle, is going to go someplace. It's going to go someplace. In this meeting this morning, what you do with this message and what you do with the truth is going to determine whence your soul will go. We deal with eternity here. We deal with eternity here. Well, Peter and John were preaching the resurrection, and the Sadducees denied the resurrection. They said there was no afterlife. They said there was no spirit, no soul, no angel. There was nothing. And when Peter and John started preaching about the resurrection and did a miracle to validate their preaching. See, it's one thing for somebody to talk about, amen. I'm getting a little, Benny, work with me here for a second. Sound like I'm an elf in on Christmas or something. Just getting a little, my voice got a little more bass than that. So it's one thing for somebody to talk about your belief system. But then when they do a miracle to validate that what they're saying is true, no, they're wrong. There is a resurrection. Get up, Sylvan, go have a nun. Walk. Boom. You see what I'm saying? The Sadducees got worried, y'all. They say, oh, no, this group is going to topple our whole belief system. We've been telling the people all these years that there's no afterlife. That they can live however they want, amen. The only problem they're going to have is in this life, and then that's it. And I'm telling you, they got people that will tell you that today, yeah. They got people that will tell you that today, that there's no afterlife. And that's one of the biggest deceptions of the devil. Because if he can convince you that there will be no consequences for your actions on earth, woo, then he can get you to live any old kind of way you want. You hear me? You hear me? And the Sadducees, they say, listen, the only consequence you have will be on this life, you know? And so if you live bad, you're not gonna be as blessed on this side. And that's partly true. You see what I'm saying? Because there's blessings that come with obedience. But what if you got a person that say, listen, I prefer my evil than being blessed? I prefer my sin instead of being blessed. I don't need a house. I don't need a car. I want my sin. You see, that's when a correct teaching of the afterlife comes into play. You see? Because you're not only going to have to deal with judgment in this life, but you're going to have to deal with it in the life to come. The Sadducees were founded on a lie. They said that the resurrection was not real. So when Peter and John came and taught the resurrection, their whole religious denomination was in trouble. And the funny thing is, the Sadducees knew that the resurrection was real. Did anybody hear me up in here? They said the resurrection wasn't real. They fought all those that preached the resurrection, but on the inside and through experience, they knew that the resurrection was real. Have you ever fought against something you knew deep down was true? That's what they was doing. Well, Pastor, how do you know they knew about the resurrection? Let's look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 11. Because somebody had already come back from the dead. That's how they knew. Oh, you got to hear me up in here. You got to hear me up in here. In Matthew 28, 11, the Bible says, now when they were going, the women were going to tell the other disciples that Jesus was going to meet them in Galilee. The Bible says, behold, some of the watch. That's the watch means a battalion of men that's to stand guard in front of something. What we're talking about is after Jesus was crucified, they put him in the tomb. They put a one-ton stone over the tomb, and they put a battalion of men to watch in front of the tomb. Because the Pharisees and Sadducees said that this man said that on the third day, he would rise again. So we want to put a battalion of soldiers in front of the tomb, amen, just in case something happened. You know what I'm saying? So what you're planning on doing when he rise to kill him again? Boy, the devil is a liar. You understand what I'm saying? So they put a watch in front of the tomb. And the Bible says, and hallelujah, and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. What had happened was while the watch was in front of the tomb, an angel came down, Deacon Hill. And when the angel came down, the Bible says that his countenance was like lightning. You understand what I'm saying? He was getting his shine on, if you know what I mean. And when he came down, the angel by himself rolled the one-ton stone away. And he told him, he said, I know you seek Jesus, but he is not here. Woo! For he is risen just as he said. The angel say, come see the place where the Lord lay. And the Bible say the guard's knees began to buckle. And the watch were terrified. And they ran away. And they went tell the chief priests, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, all the things that were done, that Jesus wasn't in the grave no more. That the angel had come down and rolled the stone away. That just what he said was going to happen, happened. Resurrection happened. Oh, come on, somebody. In verse 12, the same chief priests, Annas and Caiaphas, and when they were assembled with the elders, the Sanhedrin, they called back together and had taken counsel. Now the guards are right in front of them telling them that an angel came down. And they didn't believe in angel. That Jesus was resurrected and they didn't believe in resurrection. Look how they respond. They gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. The Sadducees, whose theology didn't believe in a resurrection, when a real resurrection happened, they took money, bribed the soldiers, and say, tell everybody that his disciples came, stole his body while we slept. Now, if you know anything about a Roman battalion, they don't sleep when they're on watch. How you know they don't sleep, Cole? Well, we know they don't sleep because if a Roman soldier ever let his prisoner get away that he was watching, the penalty was death. It was always dead. It was always dead. You see what I'm saying? The boys wasn't sleeping. The boys wasn't sleeping. You know? And when they gave him the money, the Roman guard said, I'm going to say what that I was what? Sleeping. You know what's going to happen to me? I could see him about to give the money back. But look what the Pharisees them say in the next verse, verse 14. And if this come to the governor, that's Pilate, we will persuade him and secure you. We're going to take care of you. Don't worry about that. We got you. The same money we gave you, we're going to give to him. We got you. Verse 15. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day, that he didn't rise, but that they stole his body while the guards slept. Boy, the devil is a liar, huh? He's the father of lies. I bring you through all of this to show you this. When you have to lie and bribe and arrest and hurt people to keep your belief system intact, that means that it's not the truth. You understand what I'm saying? And it can't stand on its own. We got many denominations and many things out there in the world today that's using violence to make converts, using persecution to keep the truth out. Whenever you see that, amen, you know, number one, that is not the truth. Don't ever be a part of nothing that's got to threaten you with violence to keep you a part of it. Anybody hear me up in here? All right. All that stuff going on in the Middle East, amen. Trying to get whole countries to bow down to this and bow down to that. You know that ain't true. But here's the second message. If ever you're in a religion or a denomination and God show you something clearly, clearly, and then you come back and you choose to hold on to your lie instead of the truth that God just revealed to you, boy, you're in a bad situation. Now, I'm talking about clear truth. Got some of y'all, amen, you grew up bowing and bending before statues, burning incense, kissing feet, doing all of that. Now, God come in here and he opened up the Bible and he said, thou shalt not make a graven image unto me and thou shalt not bow to it. That's truth. But this is your tradition, what you've been doing. You was looking at the Sadducees and saying, man, how wrong could they be for seeing and knowing a resurrection but still denying it after they saw the truth? But they got some in here that's still doing the same thing. You done seen the truth, not to bow, not to bend, not to kiss the feet, but you're going to still do it. God talk about people like that. He say they prefer a lie than believe in the truth. I don't want to ever be like that. You see what I'm saying? Let me go deeper into it. You know that there's one mediator between God and man. That's what the Bible says, is the man Christ Jesus. How you going to know that truth in the Bible? And then you're going to come right back and there you go, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Saint such and such, help me find my keys. I'm just asking you, how can you be like the Sadducees when you've seen truth for yourself in the Word of God and you come back and you live according to something that's not true just because you've been doing it all your life? What I'm trying to do is raise up a body of believers. You understand what I'm saying? That love God so much to where in an instant God could come and say, I know you've been doing this for 50 years, but I wasn't in it. I know you've been doing this for 40 years, but it's not my way. How many people, if God came to you tonight and told you, listen, you got to make a change. Amen. How many people would change with Almighty God? Anybody hear me up in here? Yeah. That's the way you have to be. The Sadducees couldn't do it. They said, we're going to kill, we're going to arrest, we're going to do whatever we got to do so that this truth of the resurrection won't get out and topple our belief system, our denomination. As Christians, we got to be careful. We can love our denomination more than we love our God. Ooh, come on, somebody. We can love it. And that's why in Philly, listen, this is what we did. We never put a denomination outside on the church. We never did. We never did. You know? And people ask me all the time when they come in to visit Cherie, so what is it? I'm like, what's what? What are y'all? I say, we Christian. They say, Miss Sis, they say, I know that, but what? No. That's it. That's it. I'm asking myself, what more is there? Oh, come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. You've been coming here for a while. And I want you, as you come and assimilate into Philadelphia, begin to lay your denominations down. I don't want you to see yourself as Pentecostal, as Catholic, as Baptist, as Presbyterian. I know you came in here with that, but we're not that type of church. You understand what I'm saying? We lay all that down. Because until we lay that down, we could never worship together. Until we lay that down, we could never really be one. We come in and we say, I'm Christian. Come on, say that with me. I am Christian. Come on, let's do that again. I am Christian. That's number one, baby. That's number one. That's number one. You see? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm Christian. You know? Hallelujah. Listen, let's look at our third point through this series. The Bible says they laid hands on them. You see, they laid hands on them. And we get that from Acts 4:3. The Bible says, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. When the Bible says they laid hands on them and put them in hold, this means in our regular language, our regular vernacular, they arrested them. When it says they put them in hold, it means that they put them in detention, the correctional center, behavior modification pod, jail, the slammer, the big house. They got locked up. Y'all hear what I'm saying? You see, they figured that they knew Peter. Because the first time Peter was confronted by a young lady, a maiden, the first time of confrontation, Peter denied the Lord three times. And the Sadducees and the priests said, listen, this Peter, he's an easygoing fella. He's a light fella. If we show a little bit of force, if we confront him, he's going to remember what we did to his leader on that cross. And this Peter loves his life so much that he's going to deny him again. So all we got to do is show a little force to him. All we got to do is rough him up a little bit. All we got to do is just make him think that we're going to do what we did to Jesus unto him. And he's going to stop all that preaching about the resurrection and Jesus and teaching the people. You see? But what they didn't know, that this Peter was a different Peter. Ooh, come on, somebody. He was a different Peter. He was a Peter that had seen something. He was a Peter that had touched something. A Peter that had heard something. This Peter had been with the resurrected Lord. It was a different Peter. It wasn't the Peter that saw the cross. It was the Peter that saw the resurrection. Oh, come on, come on, come on. I pray to God that you be a different you. Because the devil thinks that he can just handle you like he used to handle you. He thinks that he can bring up situations in your life and that you're going to do the same response like you used to respond. Anybody hear me up in that? I know how to get under his skin and her skin. I know how to get him in the club. I know how to get him in the drink. I have certain triggers and that they work in their lives. I know how to make her blow up and cut up. I know how to make him deny his Lord. It's a trigger mechanism. But I'm hoping today that like Peter, woo, you just not see the cross, but you also see the resurrection. Anybody hear me up in here? You see, the cross is where he died for your sins. But the resurrection was the power to give you newness of life. Because just like him, you should die. That means the old you die. The drunk you die. The high you die. The fighting you die. The Oh, I'm preaching to somebody up in here. Because the devil got a plan this very day for you. 4th of July, barbecue. To get you in the same place with the same thing, with the same trick that he been getting you with. But I'm trying to get you ready this morning. You're not the same Peter you used to be. You're not the same one you. Woo! Yeah. They thought they could rough Peter up. He had seen and been with the resurrected Lord. They thought that they could make Peter afraid with force and with the threat of death. They didn't understand that Peter had witnessed firsthand the King of Glory conquer death, conquer sin, conquer hell, and conquer the grave. You see, when somebody undefeated, and never lost before, that person is a big threat to you. It's like boxing. That dude come in the ring, the undisputed heavyweight, and that's how death used to be. Because nobody could conquer the grave before Jesus. And death, whoever death walked in the ring with, we already knew before the fight started that it was over. And nobody was ever coming back. Death was knocking people out in the first round. You with me so far? Yeah. And so as another boxer, you watching that, you say, there's no way we could beat him. But on a particular day, another fighter came in the ring. You understand what I'm saying? Hey, God. And he came in the ring, and Death tried his old okey-doke on him. Death was trying to. And Jesus Christ, the righteous one. You see? He conquered death. And when death was trying to knock him out, when death thought he had him marked on the ropes, you know what I'm saying? Death was victorious. Death was saying, we got him now. He on that cross. He breathing his last breath. You know what I'm saying? Bible say on the third day. Somebody say the third day. It's like the third round, Malvo. The third. He come back the third round. You thought I ain't had nothing left in me. Knock death out. Now, Peter watching that on the sideline. And he said, you know, death not that bad. You know what I'm saying? I think I could take death. Amen? Especially with Jesus in his corner. Coaching him the whole way. Saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And saying that there's... You see? So Peter wasn't the same Peter. And so when they threatened Peter with death and they brought up this whole thing about force and we're going to rough you up, Peter, and they laid hands on him and they put him in jail, amen, Peter wasn't scared at all. And their plan didn't work. I'm praying that the devil's plan on you don't work today. I'm praying it don't work no more, anymore. That your people begin to look at you and say, oh, that ain't the same such and such anymore. You see? The Bible tells us, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold. Then it goes, it says, unto the next day. You see? They just didn't lock them up for a few hours, y'all. They let them sweat a little bit. They had to spend the night in prison. You see? That's what that means, unto the next day. And it tells us why they locked them up until the next day. The Bible says, for it was now eventide. That means that it was the evening and nighttime was very close. Well, what does this mean, Pastor? Well, you got to understand. The Sanhedrin, which was the Senate, the Supreme Court, the Congress, all wrapped in one for Israel at that day, they never met at night. They never met at night. And so when night began to come and they arrested Peter and John, amen, they had to hold because the proceedings couldn't happen at night. Anybody hear me up in here? Two revelations from that. Let me start with the most important one. Number one, my Lord was tried at night. Judas betrayed him at night. kissed him at night, pointed which one he was at night. They apprehended him and brought him in at night. They brought him before the Sanhedrin, which was illegal for them to meet at night, but they met that night. You understand what I'm saying? And Jesus said, you coming with torches and sticks. You coming to me like I'm a robber. I was in the temple every day preaching. You could have got me in. Hey, God, but this is your hour of power. Darkness is where you operate. Oh, God, have mercy. Yeah. They usually didn't meet at night, but they came get our Lord at night. And they brought witnesses at night, false witnesses. They had a hearing and a proceeding at night. They issued sentence and the guilty verdict upon him at night. And that's why they had to wait till the morning to bring Pilate in to judge him. You see? Because it all happened at night. Listen, our Lord was 100% innocent, y'all. The whole trial from beginning to end was illegal. Amen. Every single thing from his arrest to the verdict that came down, amen, it'd be thrown out of court today. Jesus look at them all and say, which of you convinced me of sin? I never broke any laws. I never sinned a day in my life. You see what I'm saying? Somebody give God glory for the innocence of our Lord. That just jumped out into me. They kept him until the next day because it was evening time. Now, here's the second revelation from that. This one is a little more personal to me. Amen. As we look at the timeline, the Bible tells us that Peter and John went to prayer at what time? 3 p.m. The night hour. 3 p.m. All right. So Peter them started this thing at 3 o'clock. He healed a man and began preaching. And now it is evening time. This tells me that Peter preached from 3 to at least 6. Oh, I'm talking about something personal to me here. All right? It started getting dark on him is what I'm saying. Listen to me here. Why the church only want to have church for 30 minutes? Why the church want to be in church for 45 minutes? Peter preached for at least 3 hours. You see what I'm saying? And y'all looking cross at me for going long sometimes. You say, well, Pastor, we close. We stay in here for almost 2. No. That's different, though. You stay almost 2, but we got worship, we got offering, we got communion, we do all that. No, there was no song in Peter. You understand what I'm saying? Peter got up there and he preached for 3 hours. What you don't know is that's the way the Puritans used to preach. They preached for 3 hours. They say, oh God, people getting there, oh Lord, pastor trying to go from 9 9 to 1. No. But what I am saying is, can you watch with me for 1 hour? You understand what I'm saying? Can you give me 1 hour if Peter got 3? Can you hook a brother up? Peter preached all evening tide. And as we study this, and we look at the way they preached, Paul preached, tell them Paul fell asleep in the house. You remember the story, Miss Karen? And the dude fell asleep. They were late. He fell asleep, fell down, killing. No, he killed himself. So tired. Peter had to preach till night, then raise that boy from the dead, and then he kept preaching after that. What you saying, Pastor? Can you watch with me for 1 hour? Don't you get caught up in this modern church where they worship for 45 minutes and then preach for 20 minutes. Don't get caught up in the modern church. Amen. Where you wake up in the morning and you saying, where can I go to get out the fastest? We putting a drive-through mentality on Jesus. We putting a fast food. I'm not going there. They take too long, too. It's been my experience that the best food take long. That's been my experience. Well, they cook it from scratch. You understand what I'm saying? Flour on their face. That's me in the spirit. Yeah, yeah, the Sanhedrin was only supposed to meet in the daytime. And Peter preached till it was night. You see? So they arrested them and put them in jail until the next morning. Now, remember, this verse tells us the how of persecution. And man, I think I messed up a little bit. I gave y'all the how way earlier. You know what I'm saying? When I was given the definition of persecution, I gave y'all the how. I had already broke down to you the different forms of persecution. I told you that persecution can be verbal, social, physical, and spiritual. Amen? Somebody say persecution. So since I gave you that already, let me just give you some modern examples of that before we move on. I'm going to show you. Let me show you how persecution can be verbal. Anybody know Tim Tebow? Amen. Tim Tebow. Amen. I'm not talking about you liking the way he played football. I'm talking about you knowing him as a Christian and believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody can verify that? Amen. Well, anyway, a man caught a heart attack on a plane that Tim Tebow was on. Now, Timmy boy, he a Christian, man. Now, if somebody falls sick in our presence, what's the first thing we going to do? That's right. So Timmy come along, Timmy laying hands on the boy. In the name of Jesus. You know what I'm saying? You know? Not getting in the way, letting the people do their thing and stuff like that, but just praying. Praying on him and praying with the guy's wife. Amen. Did y'all know that this week, the media blasted him, got upset with him for praying on this man? You understand what I'm saying? What you need to understand that right after he prayed, the man actually resuscitated and came back. You understand what I'm saying? He resuscitated because he had lost pulse and everything. Timmy prayed, the man resuscitated. They got him to the hospital, and later on he passed away. You know what I'm saying? But they was mad at Timmy for that. They blasted him on the media. He was just in the way, and he wasn't in the way. They was able to do everything. The media wrote it with a little slant like he got in the way. He never got in the way. He also, amen, went with the man and his wife to the hospital and stayed with him. Anybody hear me? Until the news came. I mean, just stayed there. Like he don't have nothing to do. No, but he a Christian. You see what I'm saying? And it came out over media. Timmy was in the way. Timmy shouldn't have prayed. And you should have heard the ugly things they said. You know, about this brother. It was verbal persecution. This week, at his finest, at his best. You know what I'm saying? All because this man wanted to pray. You see? Let me give you another example of what we call social persecution. Social persecution is when they treat you as an outcast because of your beliefs. And I've told you, amen, that the system, what they do is a reverse psychology type of thing. I told you before that they accuse us as being bigots and intolerant, when in reality, they the ones that's bigots and intolerant. All we want to do is be Christian. All we want to do is have the right to our own opinions and our own belief, amen. And you ain't going to force me to believe something that my Bible say is wrong. You're not going to force me to say that it's right. Can I believe what I want? You understand what I'm saying? But in this world system, you can. They're not going to let you. You know what I'm saying? This Coach Joe Kennedy, amen. He was in the news recently. You know, they after each game, he would get in the center of the field and pray. And the students would gather around him. He ain't forcing nobody to pray, but he going to his God and saying, God, thank you for keeping them young men on the field. Thank you that nobody died here. Thank you that we can come and we have the freedoms to do what we do. And the young men from both teams usually would come and pray with him. Did you know that this man was socially persecuted? They suspended him, and then this year they fired him. You see? For praying on the field. That's social persecution. That's in America. That's in Washington that happened. Let me show you George Nathaniel, a bus driver, who would talk about the Bible and talk about the Lord with some of his students that was going through problems. Guess what happened to Mr. George? They fired him. You can't talk about that. Now, who is intolerant, y'all? Who's a bigot? You see? Miss Olive Jones. Amen. She was praying with a student that was sick. The student couldn't come to school because of a sickness, and she was going over there to help out with the curriculum, and the student is hopeless, helpless. What am I to do? I'll never be healed. But we know that there's a healer. What Christian wouldn't say, Jehovah Rapha can heal you? But when she offered to pray, amen, they reported her. And they fired her. I'm talking about decades of working in the school system, all gone because she's a believer. Not only that, social persecution, amen. A principal was reading the Bible at a Christian club at his school. The teacher that was the original sponsor wasn't there, so he got up and stood in the place of the teacher and read the Bible to the Christian organization. They fired that man for reading the Bible. There was another one, amen, I couldn't find the clip of it, but there was a teacher, hallelujah, in a school during a tornado. And the tornado came close, it hit the school. The teacher is with her students, and she cries out, "Almighty God, save us." And he did. You understand what I'm saying? Guess what they did to that teacher? They fired her for calling on God in a tornado. I don't know if you know where you're living at here. I don't know if you know what time it is. And I'm here to take the evil spin that the media put on Christians. I'm here to remove the blinders off your eyes. We not the ones that's intolerant, saints. We not the ones that's bigots, no. Oh, no, 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 no. They don't want you to believe what you believe. I looked up ESPN and looked up, amen, some of the newscasters that was fired or demoted, or some of them they put in the closet. You never see them on public TV no more. When the whole thing came about homosexuality, amen, listen, they asked them boys what they think. If you don't want to know what I think, don't ask me. You understand what I'm saying? But if you ask me, I'm going to tell you what I think. Now, listen, it ain't no hate. It ain't no hate. They can eat, they can drink, they can live. It ain't no hate. It ain't no hate. But don't ask me what I think. I love them. I pray for them. If they're hungry, I'm going to feed them. You understand? It ain't no homophobia. Ain't no nothing like that. It ain't no hate, dog. It ain't no hate. But don't come ask me what I think if you don't really want to know what thus said the Lord. Now, Chris Broussard came and he said what he needed to say on ESPN. They gave that brother the blues, man. You know? Another brother came out, amen, said something, Craig James. He was fired. They hired him Wednesday. He did the show Thursday. They fired him Thursday. We live in a culture of verbal, of social, but also physical persecution. And I'm going to show you some stuff that's been in the news as of recent before we move on. It's not in America yet, but if we just sit down and do nothing, it's coming. What you mean, Pastor? Well, let me just show you some other stuff. Just If we can't preach and apply the word to what's going on today, it's not going to do you no good. Physical persecution in Iran. Pastor Saeed, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, y'all. Abedin, you see? He was locked up in Iran. And I usually like Iran, but I don't like the way they treat Christians. He was locked up in Iran for 4 years for trying to start an orphanage and trying to spread the gospel. He was locked up in the worst prison in Iran where they rape men, where they take people's eyes out, where they cut off hands. He was in that prison. He'd been set free. He was set free January 2016. Just this year, he was set free. You see what I'm saying? Now, you could tell he's not the same. You could tell they did some things to him. He's not talking about it. You know? And that's physical persecution, all because he a Christian. You know? I wanted to travel overseas this year. Go see a few places. How hot it is out there? I ain't going nowhere. We're going to go to VZ, McComb, and take a ride by Wine Alley. You know what I'm saying? Things got to cool down. It's hot for Christians out there. Oh, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Oh, come on, somebody. Y'all know what happened just this week in Bangladesh? When they kill all them people at the restaurant? But you got to read close now. It looked like indiscriminate killing. They went to each person in the restaurant and they asked them, quote the Quran. Now, I don't know about you, I'm a Christian. I can't quote no Quran. You understand what I'm saying? So who they looking for? Who they looking for? You see? And if you think they're just looking for the Westerners, look, let me show you the other one. Let me show you the other clip of what ISIS did when they beheaded the over 20 Coptic Christians from Egypt. The other one's from Ethiopia. And why did they kill them? With physical persecution? Why they cut their throats and sever their head off their body? Because they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why. And as they showed the video of the waters was blood red. And I thought about the scriptures. Listen, don't let the devil deceive you, no. Don't let the devil deceive you. Listen here. Persecution is going on. How many people know or believe persecution is going on? How many people believe that? Huh? Social, verbal, and physical. And we're living in a climate of spiritual persecution in America, and we've talked about that at length already. Come on, give God glory for the truth. Amen? We're going to have another little point, but I just want to just say lie right here for a second. You can take that off of that so we won't get too downcast today. Amen? It's the 4th of July. And we're celebrating freedom. But are we really free? I want to tell you that every single year, America grows older. Every 4th of July that we celebrate, we become more and more bound. We lose more and more freedoms. We don't have the freedom to pray no more. We don't have the freedom to read our Bible no more. We don't have the freedom to celebrate Christ no more. And what I learned in law school and even just regular, amen, school, amen, I learned that we were given some unalienable rights. You understand what I'm saying? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that liberty was expounded upon in our Declaration of Independence, but also in our Bill of Rights. that we would have what's called the freedom of religion. The freedom to worship God as we choose. To believe as we choose. I want to tell you that the Constitution and everything that the 4th of July stood for is on a knife's edge. Is under fire. So as you celebrate the 4th of July, know this, my friends, that if nothing is done, we will not stay free. Come on, give God some glory for the truth. Amen. Here's point number four, and then we go in. Point number four. We're just continuing along, amen, our series. How be it? How be it? Acts 4 and verse 4. How be it, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. The Bible says, how be it. This word, how be it, means in spite of, even though. No matter what all they try, no matter what all they do, how be it. In spite of all the arrests, the prison, in spite of all the persecution, look what the Bible says. Many of them which heard the word believed. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Somebody hear me up in here. Listen to me. We got to end up on a high note, tree. No matter how they talk about us, no matter how they socially treat us like outcasts, no matter even how they arrest, hurt, harm, or even kill. Woo! No matter how they put us in a spiritual climate that almost try to make us like we can't live as Christians on this earth. Amen. No matter what they do to us, how be it, the Bible says, the gates of hell will never prevail against the Lord's church. The Bible says that many still heard the word and still believe. Listen to me. Man can't stop God, y'all. Man can't stop God. He can't stop God. He could do whatever he want to do, but he cannot stop the hand of God. That's why you got to make sure you're on God's side and not man's side. Oh, help me, somebody. Many still believe. What does that mean? They receive the truth. Jesus is Lord. They trusted in Jesus as their Savior. They got saved. They got born again. They became Christians. How many of them believe? Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. 5,000 of them believe. They were gathered in there, Mark, at the Solomon's porch. And Peter was preaching. And they thought, they say, if we can grab him before he finish. If we can just get him before he do the altar call. If we can just stop them before he offers the Lord. Listen, you got to understand the power of the gospel. You know what I'm saying? They can cut you off and God still say 5,000 up in the house. Ooh, woo. 5,000 of them were saved. Yeah, 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 yeah. This teaches us a few things. Number one, this teaches us that persecution cannot stop the church. It can't stop the church. In these same areas in the Middle East, amen, where they beheading Christians and they shooting Christians, amen. Do you think that Christianity is dead in the Middle East? Oh, no, friend. I got a clip here if they can put it up there, amen. Hallelujah. They got former Al-Qaeda and Taliban and ISIS members that's getting saved. You understand me? We got that news clip. The Muslim starts a church. Amen. Hallelujah. Look, ex-Muslim plants 11 new churches. You hear me? You hear me? For everyone you kill, God gonna plant 11 churches. You with me so far? Hey, God. Hey, God. It's been always thought and always said that the blood of the martyrs are the seeds of the next generation of the church. We've been, the blood is the seed that actually grows the church in the future. You see, we are the growth, the outgrowth, amen, of not only Christ dying, but Peter dying, and John being tortured, amen, and James dying, amen, and all these other ones, John Knox, and all these other ones that's been martyred and crucified and killed, sawn asunder, amen. All that blood was to stop the church, but it only made the church stronger. It only made people believe. It only... When you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, and Fox's Book of Martyrs is a book that chronicles all the people who died for the name of the Lord. You'll have situations where they're killing a Christian and torturing them or burning them. Amen. And people in the crowd watching while they're torturing the Christian. And people just watching the torture get converted and say, if he gonna die like that and go through all of that for Jesus and sing while he on fire, I got to have Jesus too. You understand what I'm saying? If he got more joy on fire than me when I'm sitting at my table with my family, I got to have Jesus too. You with me so far? And, whoo, my God, persecution can't stop the church. It only helps build it. You see what I'm saying? And the Bible says many believe, 5,000 of them believe. You see, what we need to know is that the church was born in persecution and it thrives in persecution. Persecution in the church leads to two things, conversion and consecration. Say it with me, conversion and consecration. It's not that we want persecution, but when it happens, it brings the Christians closer to each other. It brings them closer to their God. You see? Pastor, what do you mean it leads to conversion? Listen, I wish I had time. But throughout the Bible in the book of Acts, every time they got on the church to do it harm, thousands of people were saved. It's like the Lord played the devil. You understand what I'm saying? The devil say, I'm going to do this. And God say, all right, 10,000 saved. The devil say, all right, I'm going to do this. Okay, 20,000 saved. Okay, I'm going to do this. Okay, 30,000 saved. Okay, I'm going to do this. Okay, the world is on fire for the gospel. And God, look at him. You want to continue this? Because God said, I'm not really losing. You're the one losing. You see what I'm saying? Because every time you kill one, I'm taking 200 of them out of hell. You see? And the devil look up, well, at least I'm killing them, but you're not killing them. Because the believers have eternal life. They die on this side, but they live forever. To be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. Devil, you're losing out. He's losing out in every way. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Persecution leads to conversion. In Acts 5:14, listen, I'm telling you, hallelujah, the Bible talk about it, and the believers were more added to the church, multitudes, both men and women, during persecution. In Acts 6:7, look what it says. We just going on. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. This was during persecution. And Acts 8, verse 1, hallelujah. This is when Paul was Saul, dragging people to prison, scattering the church. Now this is good, y'all. You see, because what the devil think is he going to come in and scatter the church. He going to come in and scatter the church. You know what I see? I see a fire that's hot and burning and raging. You see? If you come in and you scatter the fire, you don't put the fire out. You just start a bigger fire. You know what I'm saying? Because it was one fire, but a log over here started another fire. A log over here started another fire. Even the little embers, the ones that wasn't even grown, start fires. You see what I'm saying? When you scatter. In Acts 8, when you read it, Saul scattered the church by killing and imprisoning Christians. And he thought that he was doing the church harm. But when you look at it geographically, the church was concentrated in Jerusalem at the time. They wasn't going nowhere. When Saul came, hallelujah, the church spread to Samaria. They began to preach. If you follow Acts 8, Philip goes to Samaria and preaches to the first Gentiles there. He preaches to the Ethiopian eunuch. And the gospel just spread as persecution was pushing it out. Pastor, what you're saying? Persecution in the church leads to conversion. But let me tell you this one. Persecution in the church also leads to consecration. Consecration. Pastor, what's consecration? Purity. Purity is when a people are really devoted to God. In the book of Revelations, there are two churches that God don't have a problem with. One is Philadelphia, and that's why we named our church that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the second is a church called Smyrna. It's the persecuted church. The church that was locked up and killed and just the devil just running rampant, you know. And go read that about the persecuted church. It says a lot of things in it that he say in Philadelphia. Oh, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. You know? The thing about the persecuted church is that the persecuted church is going to be consecrated. It's going to be pure. Let me give you an example of that. If we woke up tomorrow and they issued out a law in America saying, okay, we're done with Christians. We don't want them to attend church no more. If we catch them attending church, we are going to lock them up. We're going to fine them. And if they continue to go to church, amen, we may incarcerate them for life. We may even kill them if they continue. You know? Listen, if that law, if that edict, if that legislation would go out tomorrow, amen, they got a bunch of people in here today, this morning, that wouldn't be in church next Sunday. Anybody hear me up in here? You see, the fakers can't take persecution. They can't take when it's illegal to be a Christian. They can't take when they under the threat, the penalty of law. Amen. Listen, the law comes out. You either stay out that church or you're going to go to jail. Only the soldiers going to come here this next Sunday. Only the soldiers going to come. You with me so far? So what persecution does, it not only brings converts, but it empties the church of fakers. It empties the church of the devil's agents. It empties the church of people that's just here to want to see something. It empties the church of people that's just here for tradition. You know what I'm saying? It empties the church of that. Only the real gonna come when the church is being persecuted. And I want to challenge you this morning. I won't challenge you. And Peter's going to say this in a couple of verses down. Amen. Don't ever let no man tell you how you're going to worship your God. Don't ever let no man tell you that. You don't listen to no man and you don't listen to no law. The only laws you listen to is the laws that don't come in conflict with the law of God. You understand what I'm saying? The Bible says, let God be true and every man be a liar. Anybody hear me up in here? You don't listen. Peter says he looks at the Sadducees and Pharisees and he say, you judge if it's right, whether I should obey man or whether I should obey God. You know, and Christian, you got to put that on your heart. And you got to always decide to obey God before you obey man. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Woo! Wow. Where my real Christians at? Here's the second thing. Persecution can not only, hallelujah, it won't only hinder, it can't hinder the church, but it doesn't hinder the word of God either. The word of God cannot be bound. Though you lock up the preachers, the pastors, the apostles, though you lock up all the Christians, the word of God cannot be locked up. It cannot be bound. Anybody hear me up in here? In 2 Timothy 2:8-9. Look, this is what Paul says. Paul says, remember, in 2 Timothy 2, he says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Verse 9 says this, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. Paul says this, but the word of God is not bound. And what Paul was saying was, I'm locked up, y'all, because of the word. I'm bound. He said, but the word can't be bound. And I would go as far as to say that Paul saved more souls while he was locked up than when he was free. You understand what I'm saying? Because this book that we read, this New Testament, a lot of these epistles were written when Paul was locked up, y'all. The word of God is not bound. In fact, you know how God do it. When you lock a preacher up, God's going to save more people. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, y'all don't hear me up in here. God's truth cannot be destroyed. It cannot be bound. Jesus says heaven and earth will pass away, but the word will not pass away. They've tried in the past, big brother, to burn Bibles, to outlaw Bibles. Even churches have tried to put Bibles in languages that the people can't understand. We've gone through dark ages, and we call it the dark age, but we don't know why it was the dark age. It was the dark age because we didn't have the gospel. It was the dark age because we didn't have the word of God. It was the dark age because without the word of God, people was living ratchet and doing bad things and immoral things. It was the dark ages, friends. But I don't care if nobody in the world have a Bible. I don't care if nobody in the world know the gospel. I don't care if it looked like the devil has won, amen, and there's no more word of God on the planet. Out of some obscure place, out of some coffin buried deep in the ground, 12 foot under. Hey, somebody going to dig up something, and what's going to come up? The word of Almighty God. The word can't be destroyed. It'll always be there. He will always raise up somebody to preach the truth. He's never going to allow this earth not to have the word and not to have a prophet. Amen. So his people can know what he's doing. Persecution can't stop the church and it can't stop the word. Here's the last thing. The last thing is that the Bible tells us, amen, that many believed. But the last thing I want to show you is that many is not all. It's not all. That many is not all. And that was sobering for me. You see? Because could you imagine being at the temple at that time? And you see Peter and John, the disciples, original disciples of Jesus. And you see them raise up a man who can't walk. And now this dude is leaping and jumping and praising God. Feet. And legs that didn't work, all small and just hit with atrophy in the muscles, pretty much almost dead from not working. And they don't even lay hands on them. They say, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And them legs just receive strength and a miracle happened. And you right there watching the whole thing. And after you watch it, Peter preaches a Holy Ghost-filled sermon about our Lord and all it takes to be saved. And after he preaches that sermon and you see the miracle, they come and they arrest him for preaching the sermon. 5,000 people get saved and their lives are converted. And you in the crowd, and after seeing all of that, you still don't believe. You look on and you go back to your regular day, your regular life. The Bible says many believe, but not all. I fear today that there's somebody in this audience that's going to qualify for this category. God forbid, that everybody else could be in here enjoying the word of God and seeing the miracle of God and understanding the Bible and knowing the times and the seasons we are in, but you in here playing with your iPhone. You in here thinking about the barbecue that you got marinating and that you're going to put on the pit. You thinking about this and you thinking about that and everybody believing, but you looking around and saying, when is this thing going to be over? My stomach growling. I can't wait for that little piece of bread they're going to give. The Bible says many believe, but not all believe. You see what I'm saying? I'm praying to the hard hearts up in here. I'm praying for the hard hearts up in here. I'm preaching to the hard hearts up in here. The ones that can see a miracle, feel the presence of God, have apostles preach to them, but still won't believe. I'm going to preach to you. Listen, listen. I pray to God that Peter and John was up here, but they not. You have me. That's what you got. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm praying some kind of way, something that I said, jog your knowledge, your memory of God in your life and how much he loves you and how much it's all right to serve him and worship him no matter what the world is saying. I'm praying for you. I'm begging that God, amen, would open your heart today. And as many come to the altar even today, as many are believers even today, and they go on to serve God, you don't be some of the ones that leave God unaffected. Because I want to tell you here, listen to me, there's no real life outside of Christ. There's no real life outside of Christ. I've tried it, man. I've tried. I've been there. I've done the things that the world said would make me happy. I've done that. I've done the fraternities. I've done the clubs. I've done all of it. I won't tell you too much. I've done all a bunch of whole things. But after you finish all of that, what do you have? What do you have? What do you have? You have nothing. You have nothing but an empty feeling. 5,000 left full. But there was a few that left with nothing. To be so close to everything and leave with nothing. This morning, listen, you are in the same predicament. We have everything to offer you at this altar. We have joy to offer you. We have peace to offer you. We have abundant life to offer you. We have you be in a relationship with God to offer you. We have, hallelujah, hey, God, so much to offer you, abundant life to offer you. Don't leave this morning with nothing. What else can I say? Listen, we're going to open up the altar. And while the altar is open, amen, we would like our workers for the Lord's Supper to come up with them as well and get in position. But if you're here and you say, Pastor, I mean, I want to be saved. I don't want to be that group that left with nothing. What must I do to be saved? It's as easy as ABC. You come to this altar and you just admit, God, I messed up and I'm sorry. God loves you. He's going to receive you. Then after you admit that you're sorry, you believe in him. You say, God, my doubting days are over. I may not understand it all, but I believe that you're real. I heard your voice. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. I heard you. You said some things that nobody's supposed to know in here, God. So you believe God, his death, his burial, his resurrection. And then you open your mouth and you confess. You pray with me at this altar and say, Lord, save me a sinner. I make you my personal Lord and Savior. I'm going to try my best. I might not get it all right, but I'm going to try my best. I'm going to try my best to live for you. That's salvation, saints. That's the gospel. And you're going to have an opportunity to come. And listen, don't let your legs be lazy right now. You make your body get up here in a second. You make your body. And don't let the devil hold you down. There's little devils that's going to try to hold your clothes down. Or people are going to be, look, the devil is a liar. You with me so far? Ain't nobody worried about you. Everybody worried about their soul right now. Ain't nobody worried about you. But also for Christians, if you need this altar too, this week been rough for you? Or you've been feeling persecution and you've been wavering. He's been trying to get you to act like the old Peter. You're going to come to this altar too and get that resurrection power. So today, in the 4th of July, you could be the new you and not the old you. When you hear the music, come. The altar is open. Come, don't let nothing hold you down. Don't let nothing hold you back. I just want to pray with you, that's all. What does it hurt to pray? Huh? That's all. Let's just pray about it. We might not understand everything, but let's just pray about it. You know he real. He kept you this whole way. He been with you. Thing I love about my God, he be with us when we right, when we wrong, and when we indifferent. He's just so loving like that. You see, me, that's what won me. I couldn't allow somebody to love me like that and me not love him back. Love won me over. Love won me over. That he would die for me. That he would suffer for me. That he would bleed for me. Even in the street, if a dude went down like that for you, you would roll with that dude. That's my boy. That's my, you. I ain't going to say it, but you know. So why you not going to roll with him? The realest of them all. Let's just pray. Let's just pray. Say with me. Say, God. Thank you for being real with me. I admit I've done some wrong, and I'm sorry. I'm not hiding. I'm not lying. I want to be real with you. I messed up. I've wandered from the path. But oh Lord, I'm back. And I'm asking you, forgive me and save me and use me for your glory. I might not understand it all, but I believe that you love me, that you died for me, that you rose from the grave on the third day. Lord, save me, a sinner, and use me. Fill me. Give me the joy. Give me the peace. Give me abundant life. Don't let me walk away empty. Give me everything you've promised me. I need you. The world has lied to me and left me empty. Fill me. Fill me, Lord. And heal me, Lord. I confess that you are my Lord and my Savior. From this moment on, I'll try my best to serve you. When I fall short, strengthen me. When I need help, come to my rescue. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Come on, give him some glory. Give him some glory. He's a good God. He's a good God. He's a good God. And he loves us so. Saints, we're going to have communion right now, and the ushers are going to come out and have the communion plates ready. If you had the altar, go ahead and have communion with us. What they do, they'll come and you'll take one of the cups. It has the bread attached to it already. If you're in the back, you can have communion as well. We have some stations in the back. Hallelujah. Only thing I say is those that's in the back and you really don't like God and you hate God and you don't want any part with God, I would tell you don't play with God and have communion. You want to have communion when you love God, not when you hate him, when you're real about him. You know what I'm saying? You might not have everything right just yet, but at least God knows where your heart is at. Father, I pray for your people that you wash us all with the blood and forgive all of our sins, known and unknown. Make us ready for communion. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Everybody just take one of these. And hallelujah. You can return back to your seats when you get you one. We'll do this together. And then we'll dismiss. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's awesome. Persecution came. Thank you, Monroe. Persecution can't stop the church. Can't stop it. It never could. It never could, Deacon Hill. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's for Brother Mark. There you go, Brother Mark. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Glory. Glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. My love, where them little people at? What's it? They just went? Okay. They were in there. Hallelujah. You can call them on the thing. I need grace. Hallelujah. Saints of God, the Bible says the night that our Lord was betrayed, he took the bread, he broke it, he gave thanks. He said, "This is my body, which is broken as a sacrifice for you." He said, "Take this and eat all of it." He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Let's eat together and let's remember him. God, we thank you for breaking your body, dying that we might live. The Bible also says, amen, that after supper, he took the cup. And in the same manner, he said, "This is my blood, the blood of the New Testament, the blood that's shed for you." He said, without the shedding of blood, there could be no remission of sins. Without him shedding his blood, we could not be saved. He said, "Drink ye all of it and do it in remembrance of me as drink." Lord, we thank you for your blood that was shed on Calvary's hill. And we pray that we would forever remember and never forget. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Saints, we're going to get out of here. We're going to do the doxology, amen, and we're going to, hallelujah, glory to God. We're going to sing it a little bit, and I'm going to get a little help from my squad, hallelujah. And y'all know it, hallelujah. Let's go ahead and sing it unto the Lord on three. One, two, three. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. That's right. Praise him, all creatures, him below. Praise him above.
Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts.
Praise Father, Son.
Praise Father, Son.
And the church says,
amen.
Come on, give God some glory. Amen. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, give you shalom, prosper you, bless you in everything you do. Your children, your children's children. I pray you have a happy 4th of July and you remember the cross of Calvary's Hill. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Love y'all. Be blessed. You're a blessing. Come on, somebody. All right, all right, all right.
Boy, you suck. You know how man. You know how
love you, yeah.
I love you too.
What's up, Uncle Boo?
How you doing, young man? You doing okay? I got so much in my hand, I can't give you a hug.
What's going on? Y'all all right? Y'all all right? What's happening?
Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, God. Got some praise.
Met a man on a boat on the way home. And the man did not. Promotion in the spirit, Father God, that